morning, ladies, and thank you, Azariah, for the invitation. And can everybody hear me in the back? Okay, cool. Thumbs up. Thank you. Well, this morning has been a blessing, learning both messages and just thinking about those things. Scripture, I just have to say, to start, the Bible is full of everything. I thought as we were listening to both messages this morning, it's your drama, it's creativity, it's ups and downs, and we can't get enough of the Bible. So, I'm thankful for that. I am from Open Door Baptist Church in Seattle, Washington. From the States, we are a cold, rainy state, but we do get some sunshine. If you've ever been there, we do have some beautiful days. We do have a mini Sydney. It's not like Sydney, but we have the fairies and everything. And so we have mountains. It's beautiful. And I do have to say, coming to Australia has definitely been, was a childhood dream. And my husband and I absolutely love Australia, so, and so do our kids. So just thank you. Thank you for your hospitality. Thank you for coming today. Thank you for inviting us and welcoming us. The hospitality is amazing. And we just absolutely love being here. So I want to just open in prayer, and then we will get into my lesson. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you. Father, for your love for us, for your guidance, for your mercy, for your grace. And Lord, just guide us here this morning that we can take something away from the scriptures that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. All eyes on you, and it's hard to pray. two scriptures I thought we would look at this morning. One, when my husband told me the theme was Selah. Obviously, you go to Psalms, right? And so Psalm 77, if you want to earmark that. And then the other one I was going to go to was 1 Kings 16. Thinking of Selah and rest, I couldn't help but think of Elijah. And at home, I taught through Elijah multiple times now through the ladies' class. For some reason, the Lord kept saying, Mary, you're going to teach through Elijah again. And it started to be kind of funny. I don't know if you've ever seen patterns with the Lord like that, where he just brings you back to the starting point, and you are thinking, why am I teaching this lesson again? But here we are, and so I thought we would go there. A little bit about me. I did not grow up in a Christian home. I came to know the Lord at 21, and my husband brought me to church. I didn't quite understand salvation. I knew of church. I believed in God, but I didn't know I had to choose, right? And so that was a whole new thing for me. And so when that came to be at 21, that was new. And from that point on, we got into ministry right away. We dated for 3 months, got engaged. Mom was not happy. She didn't mind church, but she still thought my life had just drastically did a big change. So she was like, slow down. And so we waited a year to the date, and that's when we got married. And I can't say that it was easy street from that point on. Like Brother Mansour said, you get two people coming together, and that is a task in itself, right? So we've learned a lot, and I just thank the Lord for his mercy and his grace. And thinking of just our life, going through, we just got on fire for God. We got busy right away. We stayed busy, and I didn't really feel like we had a time of rest. And so raising kids and getting into church, we were busy with bus ministry and things like that. But I have to say that now that my kids are, well, my youngest son, my son, he's the youngest, and he is married. And with him moving on, this last message with the seasons of life really spoke to me a lot. And that God does change us in seasons and works through us in different ways. And I feel like at that point was when God said, you need to rest. It was, he started teaching me about Elijah and rest, and then it became like, now you need to really learn how to rest. And so I have to say that in our home, we were both pretty high-strung people, and so resting wasn't something we taught our kids, unfortunately. So if you're raising children, I know it's hard, especially if they're three or so. Resting is not something they like to do. But as you get through, as you are raising your children, I highly recommend teaching rest. So let's go ahead and read in 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19. I just wanted to read through verses 4, 5, 6. As you know, Elijah flees from Jezebel, that loving woman that came into his life. We know that Elijah had just done a great miracle, right? And he gets word that this woman's after him, and he's going to run. So it says in the scriptures, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under the juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, an angel of the Lord touched him and said, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water in his head. And he did eat and drink and lay down again. And sometimes that's what we need to do, right? Does anybody have a good, who can just say no? Can you say no? Or is it easier just to like, yeah, I can do it. I'm so busy, but you sure? Who's a Martha? Are we all Marthas? Exactly. And so the Lord wants us, here we are, he has laid down and he's told to eat and drink and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and he did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mountain of God. And when I think of Elijah and being able to just eat, rest, and eat again, that's something we don't want to do. Is that correct? Or we want to, but we won't. Is that true? Okay. And that is very true. For me, I understood, I felt rest was being lazy. That I just wasn't doing enough for God. And we know our salvation, we don't work for God, right? God's already done it for us, so we don't need, we aren't working towards our salvation. But we take that hymn that we sing a lot, and that is, work for the night is coming. And then we don't rest. But when we rest, that's when we show, that's when we take the time and understand that it is God who is in control. When we rest, it's saying, you know what, God, we aren't doing it on our own. You are doing it for us. It means to rest in the Lord. We know, we've been learning this week, that it's to pause, to stop, to say no. Our life is full of ministry. It's full of events. It's full of outreach. The culture doesn't necessarily feed rest into our thing. It feeds scrolling. We think we're resting when we're scrolling. I'm going to watch a movie. I'm going to veg out. But that isn't true rest. Rest is what we saw Elijah do, was slow down, go to sleep, eat some food, get up and do it again. And I just think that that is such a beautiful picture. A picture somebody did give me, and I wish I could give it to you, but it was this front porch, a white front porch with a hammock on the beach, and it was beautiful. And it said, and there were some hydrangeas, and it said, "Be still and know that I am God." And I would look at my picture and I thought, I wish. And I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know how to be still. I'd have to say I'm still learning. I'm not having arrived to being still yet, but I understand it more now. I understand that being still is putting my trust back into God, saying He's going to get whatever needs to be done done. It isn't up to me. I need to be obedient. I need to be willing. But I don't have control over it. Another scripture I wanted to just share with you was Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. What do we want more than anything? Peace? Peace? Right now, world peace, right? But that isn't where we're at. We all want peace, but we don't necessarily live that way. And what does that show the world when we don't have peace? When we run around with our heads cut off and we just are like, everything's freaking out. We don't show the world that we have God, that we have the peace of God. But we can. I don't want to say, like, don't do anything, right? Because these meetings are amazing. I've learned so much. I want to say thank you. Thank you for this. I filled it up, and I think it's so cute. And it just was, that's something from the meeting, but obviously the preaching was amazing too. But the things that different churches can learn to share with their churches. There's two types of living, full and faithful, or overwhelmed and overloaded, overscheduled, overcommitted, running on pressure, just running. And so we need to lean more into the peace of God and lean into that, right? Be okay with saying no. Okay, I'm going to just hit social media a little bit. The scrolling, we think that's relaxing, but it's actually overstimulating us, right? And so we need to guard that. We need those limitations. Does anybody have that on their phone with their events, like in their social media? You put a schedule and, oh, I'm only going to do 15 minutes, and then you're like, all day. and then Pinterest. When we do events, who uses Pinterest for their stuff? Events, birthday parties, etc., have just blown up with Pinterest ideas. I'm looking for inspiration or something, and I'm like, no, stop! We can only do so much. I did a birthday party for her, and she had so many, a whole Pinterest board, and we had to do everything on the Pinterest board. And I said, after that, no more. You can have two things from a Pinterest board. And obviously, she was younger, right? So she does her own thing now. She's 26. But I still try to measure it a little bit. You've got to get Pinterest under control. And to that, she is taking a social media break. I don't know if anybody does that, but that's something that's super important. Because it takes away from our time with the Lord. When we say no to something, that gives space to the Lord, right? And we need to show that the scriptures truly tell us to take a break and rest like Elijah did. Elijah was tired. Elijah was on a spiritual high, which you might have after this event, right? You're going to be, you know, but then, I don't know what today is, sorry. But when you don't, when you go home, you just go, does anybody do that?
Yeah.
You just, and then you have to reflect, and that's where I'm going to go next. When we rest, that's not lazy, it's trusting. It's letting God know that He is in control and that we are leaning into Him, that He is the one that's going to be getting the glory anyways, right? I wish I had understood rest earlier in my life, but, you know, as God leads, He gives us the energy to go and to do, and that's what we are supposed to do, but then we are supposed to just take that time and say, God is in charge. And let Him get the glory. I know, I also found, let me go back to this right here. It says here in Elijah, as we look at verse 9, it says, and he came hither unto the cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, and he said unto him, what dost thou hear, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel had forsaken the covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain the prophets, and the sword, and I, even I, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind the earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earth, not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake the fire, and the Lord was not in the fire, but he was in the still small voice. And we know that story, and there's a conversation that Elijah goes through and talks to the Lord, and here he is in verse 14, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord thy God of hosts, because the children of Israel had forsaken the covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain the prophets with the sword, and even I, only I, am left. And they seek my life and take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go, return thy way into the wilderness of Damascus, and then the Lord comest and go. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And so the Lord listens to Elijah here, and he hears his cry of need, right? He hears his, I'm the only one. But was Elijah the only one?
No, Elijah wasn't the only one.
And as you go down in the scripture, it tells that verse 18, yet I have left, I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that not kiss him. So anyways, it says down there in the scriptures that there's 7,000 that were left that hadn't turned to Baal. And sometimes we can get caught up with that we are the only ones left. We are alone. Nobody else is serving God. And that is very far from the truth, correct? Because what we know about God is when somebody says no, somebody else says yes. I think of where we're at, and just in this room alone, I'm not sure, but I believe there's maybe 13-year-olds, maybe, some 13-year-olds, 18-year-olds, etc. And then maybe there's on the other spectrum of somebody as much as 80 or 70, etc. And we have that big, wide community. And I hear that a lot, that community is important. And it is. And being in church is important, and it's a healthy community. Because if everybody was the same age, what kind of conversation does that look like? When we have a diverse community, we have a great conversation. Why? Because we can learn from each other. Some of my wisest counsel came from somebody who's older than me. But I also got great counsel from somebody who's younger than me. So my first experience as a youth worker was a 13-year-old taught me what a Bible devotion was. They said, you're a youth worker now. And I went to a youth meeting overnight at some hotel, some church, and they said, okay, you get the teens. And I said, okay, I don't know what that means exactly. And but then the five girls in my room had to teach me what a devotion was. So they were reading the Bible. Luckily enough, I had good kids, right? And they weren't saying like, yeah, we stay out all night. They were like, actually, you read the Bible and then you talk about it. Oh, okay. But that is just something that I learned through ministry, that you can learn from different people and asking of the questions, like Brother Mansour or Brother Hernan was talking about, Pastor Hernan, sorry, asking questions. It's so important to ask questions. I can't think about any particular situation necessarily, but when we don't ask questions, we can't learn from each other. When we don't ask questions, our friends get into trouble. They get into the wrong relationship. They go down the wrong path. And so asking questions is so important to help them come into their right mind and reflect God's will for their life, God's communication in their life. Speaking of reflecting is something that we need to do. We're resting, we're reflecting, and then we're renewing. And that's what I got out of Elijah. He needed to sit down and remember. He needed to remember what God had done previously. And we too must reflect. We get distracted. We get distorted memories when we don't write memories down. It's so important to write them down. We know through the scriptures that they were written down when King Ahasuerus needed to go to sleep, right? And things were written down, and then things were remembered. And that's what we need to do as Christians, as women of the Word, as women to continually encourage those that are coming up, but that also have done some stuff. And then I want to... Lamentations 3, I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. And that is just something that spoke to me too. I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. And we have to do that because, again, we just get distracted with things. We get, we see Elijah having his issues. He forgot. Fear overtook him. Has anybody ever been in a fearful situation where fear just ruled in your life? And then you've got to get that into order, right? You can't just run around in fear. It brings spiritual doubt, brings spiritual disconnection. And so when we think of being... When we think of reflection, we need to remember. And then in Psalm 77, if you wouldn't mind going over to that chapter, Psalm 77, this is Asaph. And Asaph was a musician. He was the song leader, so to speak, or worship leader, in a sense. He says here in verse 1, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice. And he gave ear to me. He heard. God heard. Asaph said, God heard. And that's what we need to do. It was a point of emotion you see here with Asaph. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. And you just see Asaph here completely overwhelmed. And I'm sure some of you have felt that way in life where you're just done. You're just overwhelmed. You're run down. You don't have the strength that you need to get through. And you just have to remember to do your devotions with the Lord, to watch how the Lord can work through, and remember what the Lord has done for you. We forget, we become fearful, but when we surrender those things, then we remember, and then we can regain our faithfulness again. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is just stop. And then the Lord will restore. You know, in Elijah, he's restored and he keeps going. He's able to move forward. His renewal process takes place. Elijah is an example of the resting, even reflection, and then renewal. In the scriptures, it also reminds me of Isaiah 40 when it says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Has anybody ever used that before? I've used that when I drive. I'm like, "Lord, fly!" Especially in traffic. But waiting on the Lord. Sometimes we just don't like waiting. Who likes waiting? Anybody? Nobody likes waiting. But waiting is something that helps us grow, right? 2 Corinthians 4:16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Each day is a new day, and if yesterday was chaotic, hopefully you can bring some control and strength into your new day. Selah is not quitting. It is not falling behind. It is choosing to pause. You're in control. You need to pause. So you can remember that God is the one holding everything together. You're trusting in him. You're leaning into him. You're saying that, "Lord, you have control." We are all in stages, different stages of our life, and we can learn from one another. We are all daughters of the King. Whether we're 80 or we're 18, we all have the same Father. And with that, I hope you can find rest in the Lord, take control of your schedule, reflect what he has done and how he's been faithful in your life. It is a renewal process. Nothing is finished quite yet. Thank you, ladies. Oh, I did draw you this picture. It says, "Jesus saves." Have you seen that before? When I was in public school, I had a friend and she said, I needed to do a project and I didn't want to do anything too hard because I was afraid. It was a workshop. Anybody done wood shop before? Working with wood, cutting machines. Well, my teacher says, if you do this machine wrong, you'll kick the wood back and it'll go through your stomach. Well, I said, I'm out. So I need a quick, easy project. And she said, "Oh, draw this. Cut out a cross and write, 'Jesus saves.'" I wasn't a Christian. I didn't know what that meant. But I made the project. And then today during the song, the chorus kept saying, "Jesus saves." And it brought me back to that picture that was a cross that I actually made that said, "Jesus saves." So I just wanted to share that with you. God works in mysterious ways. We don't know what he's doing, but he still does it. And it's just time to reflect and remember what he's done for us. So thank you, ladies. And I'm done. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Father God, for the scriptures. I thank you for your love for us. And Father, just thank you for your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.